Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou katoa, ngā mihi nui ki a koutou. Welcome to another episode of Red Alert Radio on Planet FM 104.6. You're listening to Priyanka Ravakrishnan. I'm a Labour List MP based in the electorate of Maunga Kiakia. I'm also a member of the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Select Committee and Deputy Chair of the Social Services and Community Select Committee. Now, the reason I tell you that is because I thought I'd share a couple of things that I've been focusing on in the last couple of weeks. We've just had a two-week, we're at the tail end of a two-week recess from Parliament. That's 2 weeks when Parliament isn't sitting, so it means that we get a bit more time to spend in our electorates and with the other work that we do outside of Wellington as well. So my Social Services Select Committee has just returned from Australia. We've spent a week there, a pretty interesting week in Australian politics, I've got to say. When we entered Australia, we had Malcolm Turnbull as the Prime Minister, and when we left, the Australian Prime Minister was Scott Morrison. We were actually on the floor of the Federal Parliament in Canberra when some of those things were happening. But the reason we were there as a select committee was to look at some of the issues that Australia is facing as well, things like child poverty, issues like homelessness, two issues that our select committee and really us in New Zealand are facing as well. And of course, we're looking at solutions to some of those problems. A few quick learnings from that trip, I guess. One standout would be that both countries are actually facing a housing crisis. So at crunch point, although there are certain initiatives that the Australians are doing really well, for example, more collaborative, holistic wraparound services for people facing homelessness, especially young people. So they've got dedicated youth refuges that I found quite interesting. We went and visited not just MPs across the ditch, but also government departments and non-profit organisations working at the front lines. So it was really interesting to see some of those initiatives, but at the end of the day, they've still got a shortage of housing just like us here. The other quick initiative I wanted to flag is the Auckland Homelessness Count that's happening on the 17th of September. I understand for the first time ever we're doing a regional count of our homeless population here in Auckland. So that's people sleeping on the streets and in cars. It's an initiative spearheaded by Auckland Council. They're aiming to get about 750 people out on the night of Monday, the 17th of September. I will be joining them as well, and we're actually putting a team together, thinking of a bit of a drop-in at my office on Neilson Street just before we go out for a cup of tea and a cookie. So if you're interested and if you've signed up, registration's actually closed on the 31st of August. So if you have signed up and you live in the Maunga Kiakia electorate and you're keen to pop in for a cup of tea and a cookie before we go out, please do get in touch. Now, I've got a very special guest for the second time in the studio with me today. I've got Maria Meredith, who is our newest member on the Maunga Kiakia Tāmaki Local Board. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you, Priyanka.
It's lovely to have you with us. Thank you for joining me again. I think the first time I interviewed you was potentially before you got elected.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
So it's been, what, about 3 months since you've been on the board?
Yes, it has been 3 months. So within the 3 months, I've hit the ground running.
Good on you.
So to speak. But yeah, it's been really interesting.
Yeah? Mm. Tell us a little bit about it. Tell me what some of maybe the highlights have been for you and what these 3 months have been like for you.
Okay. Well, for myself personally, it was trying to gain an understanding about local governance in our area and our role as elected members to the local board, and understanding that our role is important in terms of making decisions for local activities, and understanding the wonderful thing about it is that you've got this awesome team from Auckland Council that provides strategic advice as well. And sitting on the local board, obviously we are seen in a leadership role, but we're able to negotiate, have meetings, workshop different issues throughout the community, and have that ability to connect with mana whenua and Māori in the area, because our particular local board is, or the area itself, is going through quite a bit at the moment. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about the local community issues and services and everything that we do there. So yeah, it's been an absolute privilege and a learning curve as well.
Awesome. I'm just going to pick up quickly on something, a point you just made, which is the fact that this area is going through quite a bit. And as the Labour MP based here as well, I've seen some of those, you know, some of the largest urban regeneration projects are happening in our area.
Yes.
So massive housing developments, significant transport changes as well. And it's quite interesting for me to sort of look at the intersects between central and local government in this area. What are some of the main issues that you're working on?
I don't know where to begin, Greg. But I suppose, within the local board, I mean, the main things that are coming through, obviously, as you know, is housing, because we've got the Tamaki Regeneration Company in the area, and soon to be the Hobsonville Land
HLC,
Company.
Yeah.
Yes, HLC. So there's a whole lot of things happening in terms of our area with new houses being built within the area. So, as you know, within any particular space or place, that, you know, over the next decade or so, we're going to see a whole lot of things happening in terms of people being rehoused, displaced, and building of social housing, and of course the private sales that are happening as well. So what that will mean is we'll have a great influx of people coming into the area, but it's about within our own roles, it's about being able to advocate and support people during these times, and also, you know, focusing on how do we build communities as well, because the community that we know it is now will be totally different going forward in the future. And the other developments that are happening within our area is the Open Space Network Plan for Tamaki. So that's going to public consultation.
Can you tell us, maybe for our listeners who may not be familiar with what that plan is, can you just tell us what it is as well?
Okay. So basically, it's being the actual draft plan or report that's being tabled is about people who live within the Tamaki area, about having the opportunity of having their say in terms of developments around green spaces, the local parks and sports fields. And as you know, if our area grows, we will need more green spaces or at least quality open spaces to cater for the population if it's going to triple or quadruple in the future.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yes.
In fact, that's one of the key messages that's coming out of the research internationally when you grow communities and you plan cities. Mm. It's about ensuring that we've got that housing, of course, that we need to house our people, but that the houses are built, firstly, in such a way that it's conducive to families to the needs of the families who live in them, but also that they're around transport nodes so that people can access public transport easily without having to drive far, you know, long distances and park and get on a train. You should be able to sort of hop on a bus. Buses come every 10 minutes, I think, is optimum, that they're affordable. You can then jump on a train or walk or whatever means of transport you wish to use. Amenities close by, schools close by as well, but green spaces is a huge key message that's come out of research internationally. Exactly what you've said.
Yes.
The fact that when our communities grow, we've got to have those publicly accessible green spaces that people can go to. So this network plan, is that sort of mapping out the green spaces in our communities?
Yes, because, you know, as they're doing the housing redevelopment changes, obviously there'll be spaces, the green spaces that are available. Maybe they'll be either, you know, changed, or maybe they might be, you know, exchange land in order to build houses, because we have to somehow accommodate that balance within the community as well. And I think it's important too, because it's all part of our human development to ensure that we have, you know, open space, be able to get out there in the fresh air, because the reality is the houses are actually being condensed, and the space that you have is smaller, so your backyard is small. So some spaces have 150 meters square, which is not very big. So what Tamaki Regeneration Company has done is created a pocket park close by, accessible to the people that live within the vicinity. But at the same time, Auckland Council are looking at developing destiny parks, or destination parks, if you like, so that people are able to get out and go to those parks and utilise the facilities that are available there.
Right, right. Actually, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of something else that I'd seen. So one of the other things I try and do in recess periods is to get around New Zealand and see what's happening in other parts of our own beautiful country. And learn from them. So I went at the, over the last recess, I went to Christchurch, and I met with an organization, a few organizations around an area that's reasonably similar to Maybury Street, out in sort of Pamiyoji Highways. They had a park that wasn't being well used. So it wasn't well lit. The configuration of the park meant that they had people sort of congregating there to drink and to do drugs and things like that. And so, excuse me. So families didn't want to send their children there to play because it wasn't safe. So the initiative that I looked at was, for me, the learning from that was how community came together there to plan what their space looked like. And it's something I feel that we talk about quite a bit, but some people are still grappling with how best to do that. And, you know, we often have sort of, and I know that the players involved, so, you know, like council and a number of other organizations that are involved in the changes happening in Maungakeakea in Tāmaki, are trying to do that as best as they can. But what I saw here that I was really excited by was, rather than sort of drop in information evenings organized, they actually put on a barbecue for in the park that they were talking about redeveloping. They changed sort of the configuration of, so now there's a library on one side, there's a gym on the other side, so there are spaces that people from the community can come and use. Some of the configuration of housing was changed. There was a road that was built on one side of the park, so then there was lighting. You know, there were houses that could overlook the park, so safety was much better achieved, I guess, because of some of the changes that were made. But it's how those changes were made that I was actually really interested in. So they had a sort of a barbecue in the middle, and they got everyone who lives around that area to actually come and feed into the process. And sometimes an information evening may not be the best way to do it, but it was actually getting everyone there, getting the families there, and talking to them about what they sounds really simple, but the way they achieved it, I felt was quite interesting as well. And I just wanted to share that.
Oh, I really like that. I'm pretty good at cooking. I mean, barbecue.
Oh,
beer.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I think that's a wonderful idea. And if you think about it, you know, food is like a draw card for people in the community, and they couldn't think of any better way to do it. So I think currently, as they're doing these developments in Oranga and over in Tāmaki, I think they are thinking about how these houses are placed. So the way the state houses were built in the past, I'm not sure why they did it, but the parts are there, but all the houses face the opposite way. So I think in the future developments, the parts will be watching over the parks, sort of like a passive neighbourhood watch. But I think you're right. I mean, how can we best use these spaces? How can we get the community to be engaged and actually make a contribution rather than having this drop-in thing, which we are having.
And I think the other difference there was speaking to people who've been involved in that, the placemaking of that area in Christchurch for the last, I think the person I spoke to was involved for the last 30 years or something like that. And what they said was, rather than going to people with the plans, draft plans, and getting them to consult on that, they actually went with a blank canvas and said, what do you want? What do you need to keep this place safe, to ensure that kids have a place to go and play and families are catered to? And so that input, rather than just consulting with them, that input shaped what happened in that area. So people had buy-in because they could see that what they said, I mean, not everything, of course, but the bones of what they said actually happened. And that same area in the last 10 years has seen a quite a different way of things being done. So there were new houses that were built over the last decade where the plans were basically taken to the community and said, well, this is what's going to happen.
Oh, I like that.
So it was a bit of a shift. So you can see what sort of works better and what doesn't. So that's something that I'd quite like to see. Joe Bartley, our councillor, local board, and all of us sort of working together on as well. I thought just to go back a little bit to your experience over the last 3 months. What do you think some of the skills are that a local board representative needs to have? Really, what are some of I'm mindful that we've got another local government election next year.
Yes,
and there might be people who are interested in getting involved, perhaps as well. What are some of those main skills that are important?
I think probably the most important thing is having the ability to listen. To listen, get involved in the community, and you know, having good people skills, but also having these skills to be able to step back and look at, you know, the different parts. As you mentioned, you're trying to make the connection between local and central. It's only when you step back and you're able to look at what's happening in the economic part and how is that linked to government policies, and it's being able to look at the big picture stuff as well. But I think one thing I have learned from the past 3 months is it's important to get out there and engage with people. I mean, since I've been elected, people have been asking for all sorts of things, which I'm not able to deliver. And
I'm familiar with that.
Yes. So I'm always sort of directing people or telling people that I'll, you know, take on their concern and then get back to them. But I always sort of try and connect people, and that's how I'm learning, is that if I don't have the answer, I'm able to direct them and also find out what the answer is to whatever the person is inquiring about. So I think a good example is there was lots of complaints about the changes in bus routes in our area, and I only sort of got first-hand experience of it, having to give two elderly people a lift from the bus stop because they didn't understand that the bus routes had changed and the timetables had changed. So for years they'd been catching the same bus to the shopping centre. And, complaints like that in the community, just connecting them or directing them to Auckland Transport or to Councillor Josephine Bartley has been really helpful.
Excellent. What if, I guess I was going to ask you what some of the challenges have been, and you've probably touched on one that's both a challenge and an opportunity. But before that, you mentioned going out there and connecting with different groups of people, engaging with the community, and you're right, that's absolutely essential. And I feel that those of us who are in a representative role, that the onus is on us to get out there as much as possible and sort of talk to people, find out what concerns are and share what we're doing in whichever sphere we're in. Do you have any stories of maybe some interesting people that you've connected with, people you might not have otherwise met? Because that's one of the standouts for me as a new MP, as I sort of come to the end of my first, it was almost a year now that I've been in Parliament. And for me, one of the absolute standouts of this role is the people I've met.
Yes.
That I, you know, people I otherwise wouldn't have met, but for the role that I'm in, doing some wonderful things with some really interesting stories. Mm. And I'm just wondering if you'd like to share maybe a couple of such people or groups that you might have met along the way over the last 3 months.
Okay. Probably one of the standout groups is the... it's based in Tāmaki, but it was developed out of the response to a youth suicide, and it's a peer support group that's run by Tara Moala and her team, and absolutely fantastic. I've been to 2 sessions there, only because something of that nature happened in our family. So I thought to myself, you know, they live in a different part of Auckland. How can I get them help? And so I took them along to one of those evenings. But I must say, when you meet people from all walks of life with all different challenges in their life, it does open up your eyes to, you know, looking beyond your front steps and looking beyond your community and across the community, that people face so many different challenges. And, you know, I wouldn't have been privileged to that had I not connected with that group or decided to go along to an evening to sort of support their mahi, but at the same time have an understanding of what's going on in the community around that particular topic. Because, you know, for some cultures, talking about suicide is not the done thing. And I was interested because it, in our particular community, it has been an issue for a number of years. And the peer support group, I saw it as a positive response to help support people who had experienced it or had family members that had been affected by it.
Mm. Right. And so... if, I'm just thinking if we have some listeners who live around that. So this is out in GI.
Yes.
Tara's group. And I have heard some wonderful things about her, her group. And in fact, I'm looking to have her as a guest on one of my, shows as well. But so if anyone listening lives out in the GI Tāmaki area and wants to go along to one of those peer support groups, what's the best way? Can they, I know there's a Facebook group, but how do people, get the details. Okay. Do they need to register? Do they just turn up?
Nope, it's an open door. They have an open door policy. Anyone can come. So it's held every Wednesday, every fortnight. So this week they had a meeting, and it's based at St. Mary's Church on the corner of Elstree Avenue and Taniwha Street in Glen Innes. And they just have it in the hall there, and it runs from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Refreshments are supplied, but I think it's a safe space. That's one thing I can advocate for that particular group. It's a safe space for people to come together and talk, and it's not necessarily just about suicide. Other issues come up as well. And they've got a Tracy Wakefield, who is a trained counsellor, who is present in the sessions, and she's able to direct or advise people who need to go that next step. But I think it's a wonderful way for people to come and just open up and just relieve themselves of all that weight on their shoulders and talk about issues that are relevant to them.
Sure. And so do they need to have had experienced like a suicide in the family or something? Is there I guess I'm trying to find out, is there like a time frame? If they experience someone committing suicide, a family member or friend, say 10 or 15 years ago, can they still go?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because I think, as we all know, grief hits people in different ways. And I think it's all part of the healing process. And I think if it's done in a safe space and done in a good way, I imagine people come closed in that before they get there, but when they leave, they feel absolutely relieved, or they may just go to one session, or they may want to engage in it. But it's held every fortnight, so twice a month at St. Mary's Church in Glen Innes.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Maria. And we've got about 5 minutes, I think, left today. I was just wondering if there were any specific, anything that you're looking forward to or anything that you wanted to touch on that we haven't discussed today about your three-month journey so far on the local board?
No. I think I'm looking forward to, you know, I know it's not going to happen now, but I'm looking forward to what the community will look like in the future when everything settles down. And, you know, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And there's going to be wonderful opportunities for people in business, you know, education, health. There's so many different things. And certainly, you know, the development of amenities and whatever in the area will get the community that we want. It doesn't matter where they are, Mangakiki, Tamaki. Hopefully it's going to be a great positive future.
Yes. Yeah, because of course there are the two large transformation projects on either end, really.
Yes,
Onehunga and Panmure to sort of spruce up, I guess, the town centre areas and make them more inviting in a way to businesses and to customers in those areas. Do you have much to do with those two projects as well? Does the local board?
Yes. Yes, we do. We get updates from Tamaki Redevelopment Company. We actually did a visit with them recently, and we usually have the business associations reps from Panmure, Gleninus and Onehunga come and, you know, present at a workshop and update the local board so that they raise any issues that they have, and then we get advice and then, you know, try and work together with them to get a good solution in the end. Priyanka, I was going to ask you some questions.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, can you just tell us what does a list EMP actually do?
It's a good one. So the key difference, I guess, between a list and an electorate MP, and I'm actually really glad you asked that because there is a difference. So an electorate MP in Mangakiki, for example, is resourced to deal with constituent casework, and list MPs are not. So that's probably the one major difference between us. So list MPs tend to deal with systemic issues. So for example, in the Oranga development, you know, I've been hearing that there have been quite a few tenants who are going to be affected by the development who felt that they are not receiving the communication that they need from the developers to understand what's going on, how it affects them and that sort of thing. So while the electorate MP would deal with individual cases, generally, I can deal with the fact that there's a systemic issue there. So I wrote to the minister, Phil Twyford, to ask him to tell him that this is what I'm hearing and there needs to be a more of a connect.
Yes.
So communication flow between those who are in charge of the development and those who are being impacted by it. I've gone out to schools to work out how they're going to be impacted by this as well, and I can bridge the gap between them and the Ministry of Education or the Minister of Education. And being an MP on the government benches means that I've got quite an, I guess I've got a pathway to speak directly to ministers. So that's the main difference. List MPs focus on the systemic issues and engaging with communities sort of at a broader level. And electorate MPs deal with the day-to-day people who can't find a house, for example, or need WINS support and that sort of thing. So really, really good question. Thank you for that, Marie. Did you have another quick one before we end?
Yes, I did. Recently, you've been holding clinics based in either Panmure or Onehunga. So can you tell us about issues that have been brought to your attention?
Actually, a lot of them have been immigration issues, to be fair. People who have experienced either some trouble or need some specific advocacy with immigration. So a lot of that. Some around the Panmure development. So tenants who need to leave their housing soon and feel like they don't have the support that they need. So again, it's systemic issues. Largely, if it's constituent issues, I try and refer them on to services. But yeah, those are some of the issues that have been coming up. But hey, thanks for that. And thank you so much, Maria, for coming into the studio today and being on the show.
Thank you,
Priyanka. And all the best to you.
Okay, thank you.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.